This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me. You're a cool oasis on a very hot day.
Well, it's been a scorching week here in the nation's capital, to say the least, as well as much of the United States as a result of the heat wave, which I guess makes sense since we're in July. But John, also some very important political topics on the agenda this week. One of the things you and I have talked about a number of times over the past few months is what we saw is the increasingly icy relationship between the United States and Israel and how the Obama administration was interacting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This week, Netanyahu back at the White House, news cameras in the room, everybody's very laudatory towards one another. Everybody's in agreement, it seems like. How much of that should we believe?
Well, again, when you're dealing with two very strong personalities, such as Benjamin Netanyahu, a man of the right, and Barack Obama, a man of the left, not that much. They cleaned up the public relations sloppiness from the last Netanyahu visit when the prime minister was kept waiting by the president. There were no cameras and no press pool. All of that, as you said, was fixed up nicely, and a lot of good window dressing was put on the visit. But that's where it ends, window dressing. There's still some very sharp disagreements. The worst-kept secret in Washington is that U.S.-Israeli relations were strained by the U.S. having to come forth and offer explanations and even some defense for the Israeli raid on the Turkish ship that was going into the Gaza Strip. I believe the clash will most clearly be over Gaza. I wouldn't doubt that Netanyahu and Obama had some words on that during their meeting, and just what the future is of the Palestinian territory that is still under Israeli aegis. We will see in the long run. In the end, this visit looked good, but as for its meaning, time will tell.
John, one of the things we've noticed from Barack Obama since the time he decided to run for president is that he doesn't really want to spend a lot of time talking about racial issues. We saw that with the Jeremiah Wright situation, and then last summer with the whole dust-up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now this week, he's dealing with two at the same time. One, of course, is his Justice Department's decision to sue Arizona over the illegal immigration laws, and then also this whistleblower, J. Christian Adams, suggesting that the Department of Justice wants nothing to do with cases in which blacks are accused of violating the voting rights of whites. And he also mentioned this week before the U.S. Civil Rights Commission that there's no effort whatsoever to clean up the voter rolls in order to reduce potential voter fraud. Let's take them one at a time. What do you make of the government's decision to sue Arizona?
Well, I think for starters, if I didn't think so, I'd say Barack Obama and Eric Holder are closet supporters of Governor Jan Brewer's reelection. The more the federal government criticizes and then takes actions against the Grand Canyon state, the more popular the conservative Republican governor becomes. Right now in polls, she has an overwhelming lead in her race for renomination in the fall primary and a very healthy lead over the likely Democratic candidate, State Attorney General Goddard, who so disagrees with her on this decision that the state has had to hire private attorneys to handle the litigation that's coming. My guess is that there are five other lawsuits that have already been filed against Arizona, and one more from the Justice Department won't really make that much of a difference. When I spoke to Governor Brewer just 3 weeks ago, she expressed surprise that the Justice Department would pursue this angle simply because the suits are already out there. The purpose of the president has to be just political. We know he disagrees with it. I never thought that they would really go this far, but they are.
John, let's move now to the Justice Department's role on voting issues. I mentioned both of the issues before. One stems from the 2008 presidential elections. Others deal with voter fraud. How big of a story is this, and what's the impact?
Once again, I've heard Barack Obama say that he got all of the headiness of being the first black president, and it lasted for about a week, and then people are coming to say to him, what have you done for me lately? But even when people such as Republican National Chairman Michael Steele say Barack Obama and I are held to a different standard, the president or his spokesman will come out and say that is not the case. He does not like to be embraced as an historic figure or that he receives any other treatment or focuses the way any other president would on a particular issue. Now, that said, whether Barack Obama were white or a Republican, he is going to have to deal with the issue of the Voting Rights Act, because the Voting Rights Act is the law of the land. And right now, when one is questioning about just how much its enforcement is being carried out, particularly by a whistleblower, as you correctly identified, J. Christian Adams, it is something that the president and his spokesman will have to address and do something about. I expect that that will dominate the questioning when Robert Gibbs gets back at the podium on Monday.
John, one topic left, but two different angles in our remaining couple of minutes here. We were off in our conversation last week since I was on vacation. But during that time, of course, the legendary and longest ever serving U.S. Senator Robert Byrd passed away at the age of 92. We'll talk about the process by which he'll be replaced in a moment, but real briefly, your thoughts on his legacy on Capitol Hill.
Well, human events always identified him as Robert King of Pork Byrd. There was no doubt that he made West Virginia into a virtual fortress with all the federal largesse that flowed back there and all the things that were named for the venerable senator and his late wife, I might add. That said, I like to look at the positive in people when they go. Robert Byrd was truly a Senate man. In many respects, the characters, both real and fictional, that came out of the books in the Senate by Alan Drury were embodied in the gentleman from West Virginia. He knew the rules of the Senate cold. He sought to preserve them, and he understood it was an institution that was to be a little different from the people's house, a cut above it, if you will, and a check and balance on both the lower house and presidents. He lived up to that, sometime with great flamboyance, always with authority. He'll be remembered as just that, a Senate man.
John, about 60 seconds left. Seems to be a lot of confusion about whether there ought to be an appointment to replace Byrd for the rest of his term, or perhaps to November when there could be a special election. Others saying the seat should remain vacant till November when there could be a special election. Why all the ambiguity here, and what's going to happen?
Well, this is a case basically of giving a football team a fifth quarter, and Democrats did it before when they changed the rules in Massachusetts to permit a special election and were hoisted on their own petard with the victory of Republican Scott Brown. So it is in West Virginia right now. Law clearly stated, and the Secretary of State, herself a Democrat, said that an appointed senator would fill out Senator Byrd's term until 2012. Now, because Governor Joe Manchin wants to serve in the Senate and feels he can be elected now when he's quite popular, the election is apparently going to have its rules rewritten by the state legislature, and the election will be held this year. I find it interesting that the Secretary of State said a filing deadline and a primary have already been held, and it would cost the state to rerun the nomination process. Well, they're going to have to do that all because of the wishes of the governor. My guess is that whoever the Republican nominee is, he or she will have a built-in issue in West Virginia, greed.
John, we'll be watching. Thanks so much for your time.
Enduring the heat on Capitol Hill and on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue at the White House, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.